All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. First, I want to begin by thanking Mayor and Adina Schwartzbaum for dedicating tonight's shiur in honor of whose birthday? Tali's birthday. Mazel tov to Tali. It was so beautiful to sponsor a chinuch shiur in honor of a child's birthday. Hashem, we also take the opportunity to thank Adina for all she does in our shul office each and every day. Thank you. And in the schus of the sponsorship, you should be zoche miyartz Hashem to see many beautiful years of nachas from your children. All right, with that, let's begin. So tonight, we're going to, normally I use this slot on Wednesday evenings to speak a little bit about Parsha. So tonight we're going to do something a little bit different and speak a little bit about chinuch. Speak a little bit about raising children, educating children. Now, I kind of want to begin with the following caveat. You know, sometimes when you give a shiur on something, it implies a certain level of expertise in that particular area. I do not come armed with expertise. I'm coming to share with you information. Information that's gleaned from Chazal, and that I think, you know, the amazing part is when, as we go through and we begin to see what Chazal, what the rabbis say when it comes to parenting, and when it comes to chinuch, we'll find that Chazal, like in many different areas, were often ahead of their time. And we're able to understand and to see things that, of course, you could find in modern parenting as well. Also, there are sheets here if anyone needs. Yeah. Justin, you know what? Just take a few more of these. Take a few more of these back, just in case. Perfect. Thank you. So Chazal were often very much ahead of their time in terms of understanding the best way to raise children, how to split. And obviously we're talking in a general sense as well. Every child is different, every family is different, every dynamic is different. And so again, there may be things here that we go over that we can apply, that we can't apply, but at least we'll understand that conceptually, the concepts that we're going to learn tonight are concepts that are fundamental pillar concepts in the concept of chinuch. And also, I want to point something else out, which is there is no way to go ahead and give the entirety of successful parenting over in the course of a 45-50 minute shiur. It's not possible to do it in 15, 45, or 50 minute shiurim. So obviously we're talking in a kind of broad strokes. Just what are the qualities that are necessary as parents for us to possess in order to fully help our children to be successful? So with that, let's begin. Whenever it comes to the topic of education, be it formal education in schools or educating our children just as parents, it's the pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech that is most often quoted. And number one, Shlomo HaMelech writes, Chanuch lenar al pi darko, train a child according to his way. Train a child according to his way. Gam ki yaskin lo yasra mimenu. Even when he gets old, he will not turn away from it. So this first piece of Solomonic wisdom teaches us on the most basic level that children are different. Children are different. Children have to be understood for their differences. Children have to be approached for their differences. Children have to be appreciated for their differences. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, therefore, teach a child according to his way. The fact that he phrases it in the singular indicates that one child's way is not the same as another child's way. Each child has... Ladies, if anyone needs, there are sheets right when you walk in over here. So again, each child has their own distinct and unique way. So again, this is a pasuk that I'm sure you've heard quoted a number of different times, but I want to share with you an incredible insight of the Vilna Gaon. Look at the Gra number 2. So this is absolutely amazing, and I do want to point out a bit controversial. A bit controversial, you'll see why not everybody agrees with the Vilna Gaon's premise. The Gaon writes, Chanuch lenar al pi darko, so go ahead and teach a child according to his way. Kishu od nar, va'az gam kishiyaskin lesimenes. Listen to this. Skip to the middle of the first line, right after the period. Va'inyon. Get ready for this statement. Ki ha'odam i'afshar lo lishbar darko. The Vilna Gaon seems to be saying that a person is unable lishbar darko. How would you translate that phrase? Lishbar darko? There are sheets. If you need, there are sheets right up here. Right? It is impossible for a person to go ahead. How would you translate that phrase? Lishbar darko? How would you translate that? Break his ways. What the Vilna Gaon seems to be saying is something that sounds so profoundly un-Jewish, which is, there are certain things about people that you cannot change. There are certain things within the personality of an individual that you cannot change. They are what they are. So the Gaon goes on. He says as follows. Kilomar, mazalo shenolagbo. He gives the example like the mazel under which a person is born. So when we speak about mazel, we often use mazel, the word mazel, in the context of luck. That's not how he means it over here. Here he means it more as a predisposition or proclivity. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. Elo, shenitna v'chira v'yad ha'adam, shiyucha le'echoz b'mazalo, u'lamido kafi shiyirtza. So the Gaon says, there are certain things about our personalities that we cannot change. Even though I cannot change it, what can I do? I could channel it. I can't change, but I could channel. So the Gra gives an example. He says, Kimo sha'amru, hay man dibema'adim. So the Gemara gives an example that if someone is born under the sign of Mars, Mars, the red planet, if you're born when Mars is visible, so what happens? Ye gever ashid dama. The redness of the planet foreshadows the fact that a person is going to spill blood. Sounds terrible, right? So the idea is that this person is going to have some type of relationship with blood. But the Gemara says, that might be your predisposition, but what you get to choose is how you use that. Amar Ravashi, I umna, I ganva, I tabcha, I moala. You could be a bloodletter, the Talmudic equivalent of a doctor. You could go ahead and be a thief, someone who kills for monetary gain. You could be a butcher. You could be a moel. Now, I'm sure there are other options also available to the person who is born under the sign of Mars. But the idea being, the Gemara is saying, is that a person is born at certain times, under certain circumstances, into a certain family. There are certain realities about their personality that are unalterable and unchangeable. But just because it's unchangeable does not mean that you can't channel it in a positive, productive fashion. Vizeshin, Amar, get ready for this. And this is a dramatic insight into parenting and into chinuch that I think very often goes neglected. Vizeshin, Amar, chanuch linar al pi darko. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's the meaning of King Solomon's statement. Teach a child according to his way means what? Lefi derech mazalo vitiv'o. Means, educate, raise, nurture your child in accordance with who they are. You see, the Vilna Gaon understands that parents often have, you know, there's the Yetzirah in everything. What's the Yetzirah in parenting? What's the Yetzirah in parenting? No one here knows, right? Maybe you have a friend, right? You'll ask a friend, the Yetzirah in parenting. I'm sorry? Too many to name. So the primary one is trying to make your children in your own image. We do this all of the time, consciously, subconsciously. Now, often the way we package that is, what do we say to our kids? I just want you to have more than I did. I just want you to have better than I did. That's code for, I'm going to push you to be the way I think you need to be, so that ultimately, again, you don't run into the life challenges that I have. First of all, it's profoundly flawed, because making my child in my image ignores their individuality, ignores who they are. And we also know it doesn't work. Because if you grew up in a home with parents who tried to make you in a particular image, we all know it lasts how long? It does. It does last until you move out. Right? And then once you move out, you pretty much, you see this all the time of people who have stunted adult lives because they never were able to self-actualize in the way they felt they could have. Because their parent, again, very well-meaning, was trying to make them in some better image of themselves. The Gra says, don't do that. Shlomo HaMelech says, don't do that. Chanuch lenar al pi darko. My job is not to make my child a better image of me. My job is to make my child, or to enable my child, to become the best image of them. And says the Gra, it is important for me as a parent to realize my child has certain realities about their persona. They have certain gifts, they have certain talents, they have certain challenges. The challenges often don't change. The gifts often don't change. Everything in life is a question about channeling. Sometimes when we try to change the things in our children that we seem to look at as a defect, or as a problem, or as not good, and we try to change it into something else, it backfires. You know, children are very perceptive. We all know this. Anyone here who's a parent knows the most common first word that children speak is No. Yeah, you wish it was daddy, right? It's not daddy, right? Right? It's wishful thinking. It's no. It's no. Why, you know, isn't it amazing? So I'm sure, whatever, I'm sure because it's monosyllabic or whatever, I'm sure there are many reasons for it. But understand why, on a deep level, on a ruchni level, on a shamanika level, why is a child's first word no? Because what do we yearn for more than anything in life is control and self-autonomy. I want to make myself into myself. So I'm a whole 4 months old, right? I'm still wearing a diaper. I can't do anything for myself, but don't tell me what to do, right? I've got this. I've got this under control. I'm good, right? I'm good. So this desire to be an individual, this desire ultimately, again, to help shape my destiny is an incredible koach, an incredible power that children possess that doesn't have to be chas v'shalom stamped out, but has to be harnessed and has to be challenged. Chanuch l'nar al-pi darko means understand who your child is. Understand what their abilities are. Understand what their strengths are. Understand what their weaknesses are. And then help them take who they are and become a better version of who they currently are. And in fact, if you take a look, let's just finish the Gra. The Gra says something amazing. Aval kisha'ata machricho neged mazalo. This is incredible. If you try to get your child to act against their predispositions, against their innate qualities and character. So the Gra says, Ata yishma lacha miyiraso asach. This is amazing. The Vilna Gaon says, okay, you know, when children are young enough, so they go ahead and they listen to whatever the parent says. You know, as time goes on, that age becomes lower and lower and it becomes younger and younger. When our children begin to demonstrate that defiant disobedience at younger ages. So the Gra says, you can force your kid to do whatever you want them to do, and it'll work for a certain amount of time. But if you keep forcing them to be someone different than they are, look at the words of the Gra. When there comes a time when they lift your yoke off their neck, when they're no longer reliant on you, when they no longer are living under your roof, then yasser mizeh, they'll throw out everything that you put upon them. Ki efshar lo l'shaber mazalo. And that last line of the Vilna Gaon, I think, is so important. Efshar l'shaber mazalo. You cannot and should not break the identity or the predispositions or the kohos, the strengths, or even the weaknesses of a child. All of the different character traits that we possess create the composite of who we are. Our job is to refine them. Our job is to shape them. But the Gra says, you're never going to change them. And I think this is an incredibly important idea. And we'll discuss this in greater depth. But the Gra, this is the Vilna Gaon teaching us, and the reason why I always have a lot of difficulty with this Vilna Gaon is because if there's one of the major tenets that we have in Judaism is that change is always possible, right? It's almost Rosh Hashanah. It's hard to think about, but it's almost Rosh Hashanah. So this is the season for tshuva. This is the season for change. Change is always possible. It's true. Change is possible. Refinement is possible. But there are certain elements of our persona that we are who we are. And especially in children, as adults, we perhaps are capable of greater change because we could will that change into fruition. But as children, there are certain realities in their persona. The Gra says, Chanuch l'nar al-pi darko. Know who your child is. Know what their strengths are. Know what their weaknesses are. Know what their abilities are. Do not try to make them into a better version of you, but try to help them become the best version of themselves. And you see this theme over and over in rabbinic literature. If you take a look at number 3, so this is from the Chovas HaTalmidim, the Rebbe of Piazetzna, Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapira, right? You can see, they give you a little bit of a biography over here. The Piazetzna Rebbe was the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. It was the Rebbe of Piazetzna. Poland was then transferred with his family into the Warsaw Ghetto. He dies on the cattle cart to Auschwitz. So he wrote many incredible pieces. One of the svarim he wrote was a sefer called Chovas HaTalmidim, which literally means the obligations of the student. It is an introduction to that. He has a whole piece which is a conversation with parents. And he says something beautiful. Look at paragraph A. Teva li'atzmoy teva schinuch. We often have a word called chinuch. And often when we think about chinuch, how do we translate it? Education. So the Piazetzna says it's a false, it's not, I shouldn't say it's false. It's a profoundly incomplete definition. Because education, the truth is, what is education? It's education could be dissemination of information. Is that the job of a parent? To be mechanech, to disseminate information to my child? Of course, that's not the key part of parenting. So what does chinuch mean? And the Rebbe says something so beautiful. He says, Ne'emra al ha'otza ha'achshara asher ba'adam o bekli min ha'koach ala po'el. And he goes on, we're not going to go through the whole piece today. He says, you know what chinuch is? He says chinuch means, and he gives multiple examples of this, to take the potential in something and to unlock it. I'll give you just a simple example of this that the Piagetzna brings down. Person moves into a new home, we're supposed to make a Chanukah Sabayis. What's the point of a Chanukah Sabayis? A dedication of the home? You're showing off your you know, 30,000 square foot kitchen to your friends, like that's the goal over here. So what's the Chanukah Sabayis? The Chanukah Sabayis means as follows. What's the point of a home in Judaism? The point of a home is that it is a vehicle ultimately for chesed. It's a vehicle for hospitality, for achnasas archim. It's a vehicle for shiurim. It's a vehicle for familial love. It's a base for spiritual and emotional nourishment for family and friends. So the idea is, when I have a Chanukah Sabayis, see, I can look at a home, and I can look at it as some siding, some bricks, some windows, all these different beautiful things. Or I can look at it ultimately again as a base for spiritual activity. Chanukah Sabayis means I unlock the potential of the home, taking it from just simply a domicile, ultimately to being a base of spiritual activity. What's chinuch, says the Piagetzna? Each of our children possesses incredible potential. Chinuch means not filling their little heads with information. Let's be honest. How many of us really remember that which we learned when we were young? I'm not going to take a poll. I'm not going to admit it because my parents watched this year and they spent a lot of money on my education. But at the end of the day, real chinuch, and I'll take it even a step further. The truth is, even if you think about the teachers for a moment on an educational level, the teachers who we remember growing up usually weren't the teachers who gave the most riveting classes. They usually were the teachers who believed in us and allowed us to believe in ourselves. That's chinuch. Chinuch means when I look at my child and I see my little son, my little daughter, or my oldest son, my older daughter, you have so much potential. You don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it is, but it is there. Chinuch means the ability to not simply see your child for what they are, but to see them ultimately again for who they can become. So when you begin to bring these things together, you begin to see just, and this is obviously, we're starting on a very basic level, but this idea is that proper parenting, proper chinuch, the way we go ahead and learn, or I should say, allow our children to self-actualize, is number one, understand who they are. Get to know them. Who is my child? My child is not a miniature version of me. My child is not to be a better or more refined version or more successful version of me. My child is his or her own independent personality, independent world. And I have to understand them for who they are. I have to understand their strengths, understand their weaknesses, because then and only then can I engage in real chinuch, which ultimately means the unlocking of their potential. I'll show you this in a different source as well, because to me it's always amazing to see when you find things in Chazal, but you also find the same type of things in worldly knowledge as well. If you take a look at number four, so one of my favorite books by Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's a must read. See, he writes over here, he's talking over here in a different context, actually, about paradigm shifts and things like that. But in the midst of this, he has a section about raising children. Look what he writes over here. It's a little bit long, but we'll read it together. A few years ago, my wife Sandra and I were struggling with this kind of concern. One of our sons was having a very difficult time in school. He was doing poorly academically. He didn't even know how to follow the instructions on the test, let alone do well on them. Socially, he was immature, often embarrassing those closest to him. Athletically, he was small, skinny, uncoordinated, swinging his baseball bat, for example, almost before the ball was ever pitched. Sandra and I were consumed with a desire to help him. We felt that if success were important in any area of life, it was supremely important in our role as parents. So we worked on our attitudes and behavior towards him. We tried to work on his. We attempted to psych him up using positive mental attitude techniques. Come on, son. You can do it. We know you can. Put your hands a little higher on the bat. Keep your eye on the ball. Your hand, don't swing until he gets close to you. And if he did a little better, we would go to great lengths to reinforce him. That's good, son. Keep it up. If you skip a little bit, nothing we did seemed to help. And we are really worried. We could see the effect that this was having on his self-esteem. We tried to be encouraging and helpful and positive, but after repeated failure, we finally drew back and tried to look at the situation on a different level. Now, just tell you the irony of ironies. So Stephen Covey, at this same time, when he's struggling with his kids, is teaching people in the workplace how to be effective managers of those who are under them. See, he writes how he had this aha moment where he realizes that the very skills that he's teaching people in his professional lives are the skills that he is not employing in his parental life. And this is what happens. As Sandra and I talked about the concepts I was teaching at IBM and our own situation, we began to realize what we were doing to help our son was not in harmony with the way we really saw him. And this is amazing. When we honestly examined our deepest feelings, we realized that our perception was that he was basically inadequate, somehow behind. No matter how much we worked on our attitude and behavior, our efforts were ineffective because despite our actions and our words, what we really communicated to him was, you aren't capable. You have to be protected. We began to realize that if we wanted to change the situation, we had to first change ourselves. And to change ourselves effectively, we had to change our perceptions. Skip a little bit. I realized that Sandra and I had been getting social mileage out of our children's good behavior. And in our eyes, this son simply didn't measure up. Do you hear this incredible idea? This incredible idea. That ultimately this idea that parents, so much of our identity as parents and our standing as parents is wrapped up in our child being successful. And that success is often determined by objective external metrics. If my kid is the kid who can't do well on the little league team, then ultimately, again, there's a certain, I'm a failure as a parent. Why is Chaim Yankel's kid hitting home runs every single time and my kid strikes out every, what's going on over here? See, he began to realize that we're not looking at our child just as our child. We're looking at our child as a reflection of our own personal societal accomplishments. Our image of ourselves and our role as good, caring parents was even deeper than our image of our son and perhaps influenced it. There was a lot more wrapped up in the way we were seeing and handling the problem than our concern for our son's welfare. As Sandra and I talked, we became painfully aware of the powerful influence of our own character and motives and of our own perception of him. We knew that social comparison motives were out of harmony with our deeper values and could lead to conditional love and eventually to our son's lessened sense of self-worth. So we determined to focus our efforts on us, not on our techniques, but on our deepest motives and our perception of him. Instead of trying to change him, we tried to stand apart, to separate us from him, and to sense his identity, individuality, separateness, and worth. You know, sometimes, everyone knows that, you know, when you go ahead and you're privileged to welcome a child into this world, so a parent knows that when you hold that child for the first moment, so pretty much you could script everything from that moment on. I know exactly what's going to happen. The bar mitzvah is going to look like this. The bas mitzvah is going to look like this. And they're going to do this in high school and accomplish this. And they're going to marry this one. And then I'm going to be a babi or a zaidi and I'm still going to be so young and it's going to be wonderful and everything's going to be great. And then what happens? Like about 4 days later, something happens. You realize, oh my gosh, it's not going according to plan. And so sometimes the dangerous thing is when we keep these plans for our children as they get older. And we build our children around our plans. This is my plan for you. This is my plan for you. And it's for your good. I'm your mother. I'm your father. I love you. I only want what's best for you. This is what you need to do to be successful. But 1 second, that is a plan that's gleaned from my experiences. That's a plan that's gleaned from my perceptions. That's a plan that's gleaned from my reality. Have I actually taken the time to figure out who is my child? Who is my child? What are they? And so it's amazing to see, and it's very brave of him that he writes this, and this was a bestseller. You know, but he's writing over here again. He realized that he was trying to make his son successful in Little League without ever asking, is my son an athlete? Not every kid is an athlete. Not every kid is the star baseball player. And it's not a failure in parenting if my child is not able to connect with the ball every single time he's up at plate. My social standing as an individual is not intertwined with my child measuring up to some type of objective metric of success. My job as a parent is to step out of myself and realize that I'm not creating a miniature me. I'm trying to create and nurture this individual child. Figure out who he or her actually is and build on that. Through deep thought and exercise of faith and prayer, we began to see our son in terms of his own uniqueness. We saw within him layers and layers of potential that would be realized at his own pace and speed. We decided to relax and get out of his way and let his own personality emerge. We saw our natural role as being to affirm, enjoy, and value him. We also conscientiously worked on our motives and cultivated internal sources of security so that our own feelings of worth were not dependent on our children's quote-unquote acceptable behavior. And then he goes on to say, it worked. You know, as we loosened up our old perception of our son and developed value-based motives, now things began to emerge. We found ourselves enjoying him instead of comparing or judging him. We stopped trying to clone him in our own image or measure him against social expectations. We stopped trying to kindly, positively manipulate him into acceptable social mode because we saw him as fundamentally adequate and able to cope with life. We stopped protecting him against the ridicule of others. So this is, I want to be clear. This does not mean let your kid do whatever they want and just they should be there, you know, sometimes in some of New Age parenting. I often tell this story that I was a number of years ago. I was one time in a store, and there was a kid, not like a baby, like 7, 8 years old, just having a total meltdown, but like really inappropriate, hitting his mother, like really inappropriate. I remember this, like the mother gets down on her knees, tell me what's wrong. Use your words. Tell me what's wrong. I'm thinking to myself, use your words. What are you talking about? Right? What have you done with this kid since the time he's been little that he's acting out like this in public in such a horrible... Okay, kids have meltdowns. We all have kids who have meltdowns. But there's a Derech Eretz that's instilled. There's a Kavod HaBrios that's instilled. There's a way you behave that's instilled. So I want to be clear. Allowing my child to become their own person does not mean allowing them to do whatever they want. But what it means is taking a step back and avoiding the instinctive reflex to make my child successful in accordance with my metrics of success. It requires me to know my child. And I'll tell you something amazing. A lot of us, I shouldn't say a lot of us, there are many people out there who don't really know their kids. Of course I know my child, I know who they are, but do I really know what makes them tick? Do I really know what they enjoy? I don't mean for dinner. I mean like what they want to be, what works for them, what doesn't work for them. And the areas that are challenging to them in life, why are those areas challenging? What is it? You know, sometimes we think that when my child's having a challenge, my goal is I need to fix the challenge. I need to fix the problem. No, sometimes I have to analyze the problem. What is the nature of this conflict that my child has encountered? Why is he or she undergoing this stressful situation? What does this say about their personality, about who they are? I have to get to know my child. So what's amazing is you have the Vilna Gaon, you have the Piaget's Nereba, and you have Stephen Covey, right? An all-star lineup over here. Everyone's saying the same exact thing. That before you get into methodologies or anything else about parenting, I have to stop making my child in my own image, take a step back, and understand who my child is, what they are, and who they are capable of becoming. And I'll tell you, truth is, as our kids get older, this becomes one of the most difficult parts of parenting. Because most of us have that moment when we realize our children are not going to be the way we envisioned them. Sometimes it's because they're so much better, right? Many other times, it's just simply because they're so much different. Either because they're different with their innate capabilities or abilities, they're different because of just their dispositions, they're different because of certain social aspects, and so at that moment, a parent has to make a dramatic choice. There are some parents who just like rage against the system. No, I'm not going to stop until I make my kid right. I'm not going to stop until I get my kid back on the straight and narrow. There's a way a child has to be, and I'm going to try to get my kid back there. Sometimes it works. I would venture to say most time it fails abysmally. And children, you have to understand something. We all know children are very smart, much smarter than we ever give them credit for. It's just like our children remember things that we thought we were whispering about, right? Our children remember things that we thought, oh, they couldn't remember that. They were like 3 years old. So they forgot everything else except that one time I said something I shouldn't have said. You don't remember any other lesson I taught you, right? But you remember one time I used that phrase. Our children recognize, they could feel when they're trying to be changed. They could feel ultimately again when my parent doesn't want me to be me, but they want me to be someone else. Step number one in proper chinuch, in raising of our children, is getting to know our kids. So how do we get to know our kids? So there are many different approaches to this. I'll give you a very simple one. The simple thing, and again, I'm not a guru on this. My wife is here. She could tell you a lot more about this. I kind of just, Baruch Hashem, I've outsourced all the chinuch in our home. So thank God it's worked out well. So I get to lecture on it. I just don't have to do it. So one of the important things is spending time with our kids. Now, I'll show you a very interesting statistic. If you take a look, this is a Pew study. If you take a look, it's on the table on the bottom of page 3. And this is actually was amazing to me. If you look at this graph, average time spent caring for children in the U.S. 1965, mothers spent 10 hours a week. 2015, 15 hours a week. Fathers, 1965, 4 hours a week. 2015, 9 hours a week. So he's actually pretty, I want to tell you something. If somebody would have asked me, I actually would have thought it would have been the opposite. I would have thought that parents spend less time with their children now than they did. But amazingly enough, that's not the case. So I'll tell you something interesting that studies bring down. We spend a lot more time at home, but much less quality time with our children. So meaning, I'm in the house a lot more, but you know, There's a famous idea by the Maharal of Prague. The Maharal says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, the Pasuk says that Vayikach HaSa'adam Vayinitehu B'Gan Eden. God took Adam and he placed him in Gan Eden. Rashi says, what does it mean? He took him, Lakcho B'Dvarim. He convinced him with words to come to Gan Eden. So the Maharal of Prague says, I don't understand. Why can't Lakcho just mean Lakcho? He picked him up and he put him into Gan Eden. So the Maharal says, you know, that a person could physically be in one place, but emotionally, cognitively, be somewhere very far away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have picked Adam and put him into Gan Eden, but he didn't just want Adam's body, he wanted Adam's heart and soul. So he needed Adam to buy into this. Very often, we're home, and very often, we're with our kids, or we might even be sitting next to them. The problem often is, are we present? Are we really there? And again, I often say, everyone likes to blame the iPhone for everything, right? It's all the iPhone. The iPhone, right, is responsible for all the societal ills. If we would just get rid of smartphones, life would be so much better. No, I don't believe that to be true. But what I do believe is that we live in an age of constant distractions. And we live in an age where it's hard to have true and real family time. Because even if we're sitting at a table, so what happens? Everybody's got their phones. And again, sometimes you're back from the office, but you're not really home from work because you're still in the office. And if the kids have phones, which is a different discussion, right? Which, well, we use that for a follow-up shiur. Resist that as long as you possibly can. But again, if the kids have phones, then they're also with their friends and with the WhatsApp and the this and the Facebook. So the truth is, we're spending more hours at home, but the quality of time is simply not there. So on a most basic level, in order to be able to get to know our kids, we have to spend the quality time together. And I want to point something out that's very important. Quality doesn't have to mean quantity. You don't have to spend, you know, people have this idea that strong families are where everybody is sitting for hours together, right? And they're sitting on the couch and they're exchanging stories. How was your day? No, how was your day? No, you go first. No, you go first. Can I get you anything? Is it okay? That's nice, I guess, like if you live in the 1960s. I'm not sure that anyone has that. It doesn't require hours. You would be surprised what 20 minutes uninterrupted dialogue does with your family. 20 minutes where if you're blessed with multiple children, or even if it's just a spouse and a couple, to go around, how was your day? What happened today? You don't have to be warm and gushy and everything else. Now, be careful, because especially when you have little kids, this is a double-edged sword. Because you will get every last sordid detail. And if you're going to ask the question, you have to be ready to listen. Well, Morachani came into this, and Shira Bera was wearing a pink shirt, and this one had new flip-flops, and they were beautiful, and this, that. And if you ask the question, you have to be ready to answer to every single, to listen to every single last detail. 20 minutes. 20 minutes that you're cued into your truth is, you could catch up on an entire day literally in 20 minutes. It's not the quantity. Most of us don't have hours to spend with our family. Certainly not on any particular given day, maybe over the course of the week, maybe Shabbos, but on a daily basis, to put 20 minutes. And again, simple suggestion. If you don't trust yourself enough not to look at your phone, you know, Adam taught me this just yesterday, leave it in your car. Leave it in your car. Put it upstairs in the bedroom. Put it away. The world will go on. The world will go on. Humanity is going to be fine, right? Only the president needs to consistently tweet, right? Everyone else, right? Everyone else, you could put it away for 20 minutes and the world will be absolutely fine. It's an amazing thing. We think sometimes that we always have to be on call. I have an important job. I have important responsibility. It's true. We're all important. We're all necessary. We're all needed. 20 minutes is not going to make or break the world in any way. But 20 minutes of quality time, where there's nothing buzzing, there's nothing ringing, don't pick up the house phone during that time either, where that time is Kodesh Kadoshim. That time is Holy of Holies. We sit together, we talk together, whether it's over dinner, whether it's over something, whatever it is, that's the time that we dedicate to each other. What we could learn about our spouses, this is not a marriage here, but even what we could learn about ourselves, we could learn about our kids over the course of a couple of uninterrupted minutes, it's impossible to fully measure. And only if we have that time do we have the ability then to understand them for who they really are, and then help them self-actualize. Let me move on a little bit to something else. Take a look at page 4. So in page 4, I want to focus on one other piece here. So this is from an incredible sefer. So now, just so kind of we follow the progression together. So we've started this evening by speaking about what it means to be machanech. What does chinuch mean? On a basic level, discovering who my child is, discovering what their potential is, and helping them become the best person they can become, not making them in my image. How do I do that? On one basic level, just giving them uninterrupted time. Once I begin to see who my child really is, that's when the process of formal chinuch, a really, we call it informal, formal parental education, could begin. So there's a beautiful sefer by Rav Shlomo Volbe. Rav Shlomo Volbe lived from 1914 to 2005. He was famous within the Musar movement. He's most well known for his sefer Alei Shor. And he wrote extensively on parenting and on chinuch. He has a beautiful sefer. It's actually a very thin sefer called Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch. Here, Rav Volbe, we're not going to do all of this inside, but if you take a look, he points out that in Shmona Esrei, we find two different verbs when it comes to building. One of them is tzmicha. He gives the example, for example, matzmiach keren Yeshua, and binyan, bone Yerushalayim. So literally, if you take a look at paragraph C, tzmicha, hi tahalich tivi ba'olam hazeh, mashenizra ba'ada ba'adama, somech me'atzmo, Eitz tzomech me'elav, perach tzomech me'elav, excuse me. So tzmicha refers to the process of planting and flourishing. What happens when you plant something? So you drop the seed in the ground, and then what happens? Kind of the rest takes on its own momentum, right? The seed decomposes, the seed sprouts, and something comes out of the ground. That's tzmicha. Binyan, on the other hand, what's binyan? Paragraph D. Hu davar she'adam osa. This binyan refers to something that a person actively builds. For example, if you're building a home, maniach yisod, you put down a foundation, va'achar kach maniach nidbach, agabe nidbach, ad shabayis muvan. So you go muchan, and you build layer after layer. So tzmicha means I drop in a seed, and the rest kind of happens. Binyan means I'm actively adding one layer after the next. Rav Volbe points out something amazing. He says that in raising our children, we need to employ both of these processes. He gives an example. Take a look at paragraph F. The quotes over here, the Gemara. Katan hayodei ledaber. Once a child knows how to speak, aviv malamdo Torah kriyashma. his father, his mother should teach him Torah and Kriyat Shema. Teach him some Torah and Kriyat Shema. What does it mean? I understand what it means to teach a child Shema. What does it mean to teach a child Torah? Amar Rav Hamnuna, Torah Siva Lanu Moshe. From the time that our children are able to talk, we should teach them Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Torah Siva Lanu Moshe. That Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us, gave us the Torah from Hashem. What's the obvious question? What's the not so obvious question? Right? What am I accomplishing with my child at this age? Right? My child doesn't have the cognitive faculties to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand the oneness of God, to understand that Torah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So I could teach my child words, I could reinforce words, but at the end of the day, what is my child really going to gain from this exercise? Rav Volpe points out, he says, look at paragraph G, Zohi Hazria. This is an example of planting when it comes to raising our children. Hayelet shomea l'rishona b'chayev sheish lanu Torah. V'hayel lanu navi gadol Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. V'utziv lanu l'kabal salami mitzvosa. So what happens? So Rav Volpe says, you're right. At the time I teach this to my child, does my child understand these concepts? Absolutely not. But what have I done? I've just dropped a seed in the fertile soil of my child's mind, of my child's soul. Right now, the child's not going to mean anything to the child. But I've just planted something into his or her consciousness that will take root, and Emir Tzashem one day, if nourished and nurtured, will sprout. That's Zriya, planting the seeds in our children. And you know what happens when you plant seeds? You cover it with dirt, and what? What do you see? Nothing. Right? In the beginning, you see nothing. Right? In the beginning, by the way, you don't know, is the seed going to take root? Is it not going to take root? Is it going to flourish? Not flourish? And for a good while, I may see absolutely nothing, not knowing what is happening underneath that soil. In parenting, we plant seeds. We're going to discuss what this means just in a little bit greater depth. We plant seeds. And those seeds are methodically placed. Those seeds are methodically planted. And ultimately, again, it just takes time for them to take root. You know, some of the best parental lessons are, or some I should say, some of the best lessons we give to our children are done through seeding and not through teaching. Sometimes I need to tell my child something. And sometimes I need to even rebuke my child about something. But it's hard to rebuke people. And sometimes, again, even children, when they get musra, they get rebuked, they dig their heels in more. No one likes to be chastised. No one. You'd be surprised how sometimes, instead of rebuking a child, you go ahead and you teach them something. You teach them something. And that particular teaching addresses the fault or the shortcoming or the negative behavior that the child engaged in. Suddenly, I'm not chastising the behavior. I'm not chastising the child. What am I doing? I'm planting a seed. I'm planting a seed. You know where we find this? We find this in the halachos, to give this reverse, in the halachos of kibud av va'em, in the halachos of honoring our parents, a child is never permitted to correct his or her parent. It's a sign of disrespect to go ahead and correct. You can tell that to your kids. Right? It's a sign of disrespect to correct your parent. So what I do is, if my parent did something wrong, so I say to my father, Father, you know, I learned an interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Here's the halacha I learned in Shulchan Aruch. And hopefully the parent understands on their own that ultimately, again, what I did wasn't... So that's Zriya, planting of seeds. On the flip side, there's something called Binyan. Take a look at paragraph I. What's Binyan? Binyan shebechinuch anu motzim ba'avos heicha. When it comes to Binyan, we find as follows. The Mishnah says, Ben Chamesh lemikra, Ben Esra lemishnah, Ben Chamesh Esrei leGemara. When a child is 5 years old, they should learn Chumash. 10 years old, Mishnah. 15 years old, Gemara. What is this? What is this? So this is Chazal telling us that in order to go ahead and properly educate our children, there has to be a systematic process of building as well. Chazal is saying, if you want to be a successful human being, there are certain life skills that you have to learn. There's certain, as a Jew, information that I have to learn and certain life skills that I have to learn. That's Binyan. Binyan is the methodical building of our children stage after stage after stage. By the way, this happens in partnership with our schools and with the home. The school is its part in Binyan, in building my child. I, as a parent, have to do my part in the actual building of my child. Take a look at paragraph K. So Rav Volpe writes as follows. He says, Actually, I'm sorry. Skip to Dukay. Yelad hu yitzur chai. A child is a living entity. Ukimoshu gadol begufo kinu gadol gas benafsho beruchniuso. The same way that a child grows physically, he or she grows emotionally as well. Gidol shel yelad tzarech tipuach kimo gidol shel etz or shel tvuah. When a child grows, the child requires attention, nurturing, and nourishment the same way that a tree or a flower does. Dogish miyuchat tzarech lasim kasher medur b'talach shel zriya. Im rotzim sheyitzmach mashu misuyam. Tzarech ledayik v'lezura b'diyukes hadavar she'osam rotzim. V'achar kach hazera yitzmach me'atzo b'talich hativi. You know, when you plant something, if you want the item that you planted to grow, so you have to know how to nourish it. So for example, if I want to plant roses, I'm giving you just a hypothetical example, and roses need sunlight, but I choose to plant the roses in the shade, so I can go ahead and give it all the Miracle-Gro, all the water, it's going to be stunted. It's going to be stunted. With our children's maturation as well, I do the planting of the seeds, but I have to make sure that I nourish those seeds as they ultimately again take root. Because if I don't know how to properly nourish the seeds that I'm planting, then at the end of the day, they won't go ahead and flourish. Skip down a little bit. Paragraph N. This is amazing. With this, we'll conclude, and then we'll summarize this piece. He says as follows, Im nosnim liyelad litzmoach, veligdol mibnei livnososo, yotze pera adam. So this is a very profound idea. If all I do is tzmicha, if all I do is planting, but I do no building, which means, if I kind of parent, just by dropping ideas or dropping little things over here, little seeds here and there, but I don't create a structure for my child, then yotze pera adam. My child becomes a wild person, right? Structure is exceptionally important for children. Discipline is exceptionally important for children. Consequences are exceptionally important for children. You know, we all know this because we've all done it probably, which is, the worst thing you could ever do in parenting is make a threat and not carry through. So if you're going to make a threat, first of all, make sure it's a reasonable threat. You know, if you do that, you're grounded for 25 years. Oh, okay, that doesn't make sense, right? So obviously, you're never going to carry through on that. But it's very important. Children are fast learners. And one of the most important things that we teach our children is there's a cause and effect in life. Life is about rules. Life is about rules. And life is about respecting frameworks. And it's about respecting hierarchies. And it's about respecting adults. And it's about a whole variety of different things. And so if I'm just planting seeds, but there's no building, there's no binyan, the child is a para adam. The child is a wild person. On the flip side, in bonim es hayalad mebli liyachis es el koach hatzmicha shebo osim mimenu robot. That's Hebrew, apparently. Right? Rav Albi writes, but if all I do is focus on the binyan, on building, chumish, mishnah, you do this, you have this history, this geography, there's this, let's clean your room, there's this, but there's no tzmicha, there's no trying to find the inner sapling of the child, then the child becomes a robot. Hatziruf shel shnei advarim yachad, shel koach hatzmicha, u'ma'aseh binyan, zeu achinuch. So Rav Albi says something really amazing. He says what chinuch is, essentially, is the combination of binyan and smicha. Binyan means the systematic way that we build up our children, making sure that they have the skills to be successful in life. And those skills, those are different kinds of skills. They're social skills, right? As parents, again, we have an obligation to go ahead and teach our children social skills. And by the way, a lot of that, you should know, is learned by observation. I have a stressful day at work. I come in the house. How do you come home after a stressful day of work? Because one thing you could count on, which is your children will figure out how to deal with stress from how they see their parents dealing with stress. So if dad has a bad day at work, he comes home and he's giving everyone the cold shoulder and he's yelling and he's snappy and he's angry. So again, remember, in a child's mind, children, especially young children, are concrete thinkers. Daddy, Abba, Tati, whoever he is good. Therefore, what he does must be good. This must be an acceptable social norm. Our children learn from all of our behaviors. Our children learn from what we talk about at the Shabbos table. Our children learn from how we treat our parents, from how we treat our friends, who we associate with, how we deal with good situations, difficult situations. That's binyan. Binyan means I have to build my child up. Yes, I outsource some of this to the school. The school hopefully gives my child the educational skills to be able to build themselves up. I have to support the efforts of wherever I'm sending my child to school, bolster those skills, but then figure out as a parent, what other life skills do I have to give my child in order to be successful? That's binyan. What's tzmicha? So tzmicha, says Rav Volbi, is really two things. Number one, it's going back to what we learned before, it's our ability to go ahead and help our children find their inner sapling. It's allowing them, binyan is a systematic building. Tzmicha means the inner budding, the inner growing, the inner actualization that's occurring. I have to build my child in a systematic way, but I also have to help them flourish and bud on the inside. That's one part of tzmicha. The other part of tzmicha are the little seeds that I drop over the course of my parenting. If you are involved in chesed, get your kids involved with you. You're making a call for bikur cholim to someone, have your child stand right next to you. Don't be modest. Your children should know when you give tzedakah. Your children should know when you invite someone over who maybe doesn't have a place or maybe is alone by themselves. Your children should know the chasadim that you do. Somebody's going out to a shir, going out to learn. Tell your children where you're going. Tell your children where you're going. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be home tonight. I'm going to learn Torah. I'm going to a shir. I'm going to pack for Abbas. Whatever it is, those are the seeds we drop. I could tell my kid, you have to be about chesed. You have to do chesed. You have to be kind. You have to do this. That's wonderful. And like 98% of the stuff that our parents tell us, it'll go in one ear and go out the other. Don't say it, model it. Those are the right kind of seeds that we drop. Like I said before, our behaviors day in and day out, those are the seeds that we drop. You know what the most incredible thing is? What if you were to ask your children, I don't know that you should do this, but it's an interesting exercise to contemplate. Imagine if a parent asked their children, what do you think is the most important thing in mommy and daddy's life, or mommy and Abba and Ima, whoever it is? It'd be so amazing to hear how our children would answer that. I'm sure some children would say, work, right? Some children would say, oh, of course, it's me. Other children might say, it's the vacation house. Other children might say, it's the yacht. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of yachts here. Right? Whatever it is, we don't realize this. We think that often we're even keeled and we're emoting the right messages. But sometimes we're not actually giving off the messages that we think we are. We're not planting the seeds that we really think we need to be planting. That's tzmicha. I need to help my child self-actualize, flourish, and bud on the inside. And throughout my parenting, I have to drop the seeds of education. I'm not banging them over the head with lessons because it's not going to work. Instead, what I do in a very nuanced manner is I drop the seeds. Often, by simply modeling the right kind of behavior. And this leads me to my last point. With this we'll end. Which is along this same idea of tzmicha, that, you know, all of us want to raise Judaically inspired and committed children. It's what we want. It's what every single Jewish parent wants. Now, we may define Judaic commitment and inspiration in different ways, and that's fine. There's not one interpretation of that, but I would venture that's something we all want. If you want that, Rav Volbi writes, you have to live it. If I don't model the right type of behaviors for my child, I cannot expect them to ever believe that they are important. Now, they may come to the importance of these things on their own later on. But if I'm telling my child, you know, Yiddishkeit is important, Torah is important, learning is important, Chesed is important, fantastic. Even more powerful than telling them is allowing them to see it in your life. Because the amazing part is things that our children see in us, we never even have to tell them. They know already because they see it lived throughout the home. Sometimes the greatest seeds that we drop into the fertile soil of our children's minds and hearts are the behaviors that we model. If we want inspired and committed children, then we have to live visibly inspired and committed lives. Otherwise, we run the risk of parenting, of the model of parenting, of, how does it go? do as I say, not as I do. And we all know that that model is hypocritical, and the truth is, never works, always backfires, actually leaves children a bit resentful about parental hypocrisy. So if we bring this all together, and with this really we'll conclude tonight, if we bring this all together, what we emerge with is, number one, I think a different kind of definition of chinuch. Chinuch doesn't mean to simply educate our children, but rather what chinuch means, according to the Vilna Gaon, is ultimately understanding my child is who he or she is. There are certain things that can be channeled, but not necessarily changed. Like the Piagetsna said, my goal is to figure out, to try to see the potential within my child. Like Stephen Covey said, my goal is not to make my child in my image. My goal is to try to figure out who my child is and how my child can be the best person they are capable of being. How do we accomplish that? Quality time. Quality doesn't have to be quantity. The quantity could even be quite limited. The goal is just some amount of quality time. I would suggest 20 minutes a day, if possible, uninterrupted, bless you. There's just an opportunity to talk, just an opportunity to catch up, just an opportunity to express a genuine interest in the other. Rav Volbi says, if you want to know what true chinuch is composed of two elements, bingin and smicha. Bingin means the solid building of our children, the life skills, the solid life skills that they need to be successful. Some of it comes from the school, some of it comes from the home, but perhaps the more nuanced part is the smicha, is the planting, is the seeding. That takes two forms. The little seeds we drop in the lessons that we emulate for our children, the lessons we live, the lessons we embody, and ultimately, again, the active seeds that we drop in through the things that we say, through the things that we do, through the things that we teach. Both of these things together ultimately form the comprehensive unit of chinuch. We have by no means, we've only scratched the surface of a Judaic view of chinuch, and we've only begun this incredible journey, which is an exceptionally complicated journey. And I want to end off with one last thing. Don't aim to be the perfect parent, because the perfect parent doesn't exist. And that's okay. That's not a condemnation of parents. The pure perfect human being doesn't exist. Parents are human beings. Human beings are imperfect. By definition, parents are imperfect as well. We all make mistakes in the raising of our children. It's inevitable. Sometimes with our older kids a little bit more, with our younger kids a little bit less. Sometimes we're just tired. By the time we get to the younger kids, they can do whatever they want. So, you know, every family has its own different dynamic. We don't aim for perfection, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted us with the most beautiful gift in this world, and that's the gift of a beautiful neshama. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusts us with his neshamas, if he entrusts us as parents, and he gives us these neshamas into our lives, it's because he believes that we have the ability to polish them, to nurture them, to nourish them, and to allow them to self-actualize. It is a lifetime of effort. And often we look back on things that we did and we say, if only I would have done it differently, perhaps I could have saved my child from this difficulty, that difficulty. Hindsight is always 20/20. We always do the best that we can in the moment which we are in. But hopefully, in the merit of just coming out tonight and trying to be a little bit better, a little bit holier, a little bit more directed in our parenting skills, HaKadosh Baruch should give us the siyata d'shmaya, the divine providence and assistance to continue to raise our children in the ways of Torah, to continue to raise our children in the ways of inspiration. Halavai, our children should be a continued source of nachas for us, for past generations, future generations, but most of all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you.